The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Most sexual assaults go unreported. At Sarnco, we believe, empower, and advocate for all survivors. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted and needs support, call 844-644-6435. 844-644-6435. At Sarnco, we're here for you.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Ory, three-pointer, buries it!
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
It is the Big Shot Bob pod. We've made it to six episodes. One more, and we'll have as many shows as this guy's got rings. Robert Ory.
We got to schedule somebody, as my son likes to say, immaculate for that number seven. So who can we get to for number seven?
Oh, this one guy you already can think of right now. He in the seven ring club just like you are.
Oh, we're trying on him. We're all talking about the same guy.
He probably still partying.
He's probably still hungover.
Or you could get a guy who wore number seven and means so much to the city of Atlanta by the name of Michael Vick.
Mm. Oh, that would be great.
That wouldn't be bad. We can reach out to Michael Vick if you'd like to have Mike on the show.
Just throwing a little something out there, you know.
Mike, you know what? I think we've talked about this. B-Dog, we've talked about this before, Rob. I don't think you and I have, but man, so much respect for the way that he did not let that moment in his life define the rest of his life.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Like that could have been it for him forever. And I think most people thought it was going to be. And man, I got more respect for him now because he paid back everybody he owed money to. He did his time. He's putting in the work and he's being rewarded for it too. And you're getting to see him more on TV. And I'm enamored by the idea that he did not let that moment in time flush away his whole life.
You know, you always talk about the heart of a champion. That's a true champion right there. He to have the heart and the testicular fortitude to not let something like that hold him back, because a lot of people could just go in a shell and say, fuck it. I'm just going to live my life.
This is who I am.
Made a lot of money. Yeah. I'm going to do my thing. But, you know, he's like, he reinvented himself and went out. And I have to tip my hat to him because think about this. He was that guy. That every guy, no matter who you are, you and Atlanta Falcons were playing, you wanted to watch this guy because it was video game shit. You were like, let's watch this guy go to work.
So, box office.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, and especially being here in Atlanta, I mean, you want to talk about a city on fire.
Oh, my goodness.
In the times of Michael Vick, because now here is like this prominent African-American athlete who's breaking all the rules for an NFL quarterback, and this city was on fire. Fire for that guy. Just on fire.
So much that people are still looking for that lightning rod of some sort. You know, you still have the remnants of Michael Vick being felt in this city somewhere, somehow, especially during football season. So it was a great thing for the city.
Yeah. And again, crazy comeback story. We got so much to do on this week's show. I don't even know where to start. So you tell me, where do you want to start? It's All-Star Weekend. We could start with that. You could start with, are we overhyping the Knicks? Russell Wilson, Lloyd Pierce in Atlanta. Mm. I mean, there are so many things going on right now. Where do you want to start this week?
Let's start at the All-Star game because it's right there in the ATL.
Yeah.
And so it's funny thing. It's like my brother, it's his birthday today. So happy birthday, big bro.
How old is your brother?
Lamar Townsend. He is 54.
Wow. Is he your old? Yeah. How many siblings do you have? I don't think I've ever asked you that.
I just have an older brother.
Just your brother.
Okay.
Okay, just your brother. All right, well, happy birthday.
And so he was like, can you get me tickets to All-Star? I'm like, dude, do you realize this is COVID? They don't have any tickets. So he's been trying to get tickets. I'm like, I'm saying, I'm sure if you were in shape, you could slide in as maybe LeBron, because I'm sure LeBron doesn't want to go, so you can pretend you're LeBron James. You know, just walk off a private plane like all the guys are going into ATL with. Yep. And say, hey, I'm LeBron James.
Yeah. Put on some nice sneakers and some headphones and just walk exactly. right through, man. They'll let you in. But yeah, I'm like, so I guess my question is, do you care at all about the All-Star game this weekend? Because from my perspective, and obviously B-Dog, same question, but like, if the players don't care about it and they don't seem like they're really enthused about it, as a fan, I could give less of a crap about it.
Yeah, man, I just – it's the fact that it's here and we know how the city of Atlanta can do if they were allowing us to do what we wanted to do. Atlanta going to do what they want to do anyway. And if you don't believe me, wait till this weekend is over and wait till Monday morning. Watch the news. If you don't believe me, look on Twitter, look on Instagram, and look at the footage. Yeah. Don't take my word for it. The proof is in the pudding. It's going to show. But anywho, Atlanta needs to do what it needs to do. And the fact that it's here during this time, I don't think it's fair. It shouldn't be an All-Star weekend anyway, but it definitely shouldn't be here because Atlanta can't do what it want to do. And people not, you know, give Atlanta grief and give some backlash. So I don't think it should be one, but it shouldn't be here.
You know, it's the thing with me, but All-Star, it's all about the fans. And this one, there is no fans. So it's going to be a little weird because the players get hype from the people in the crowd. Now, with no crowd there and them not wanting to be there, there's a lot of potential to get hurt on injury, because when you're not in something full force, that's where the part comes in where a guy can get hurt. So hopefully these guys can stay healthy and, you know, do something, you know, to shock the crowd or shock the world, so to say.
Right. But it's like you said, I mean, there's no people screaming and hollering. And when they're, you know, you get guys throwing each other lobs and dunking and all that stuff, it's to get the crowd.
They don't want to be here. They don't want to have to hop on a plane from their respective city, come to Atlanta for a few hours, and then having to go back to – like, they want to spend time with their family. They're like, look, man, you got – even, you know, LeBron is like, look, LeBron is finally going to take a night off. You know, he's finally going to take a night off and say, you know what, forget all this. I got to play on Sunday. I ain't playing in this back-to-back. I don't even want to be in the All-Star game, but since we're here and I got this logo on my jersey, I got to go. I'm obligated to.
You know, it's weird because so many guys have sowed their displeasure in going to the All-Star. What they should have did is like, okay, you have these, what is it, 25, how many guys in All-Star? 30 guys? Like 30, right?
Somewhere around there.
24. They should have said, okay, we're going to expand this to more guys. And like, okay, who wants to come play in the All-Star game? These guys can come, because LeBron doesn't need to pay out the All-Star check, AD, all these guys, you know. So even Jimmy Butler's like, oh, Bam's not going? I'm canceled. I don't want to go. Don't put me in there. So
I'm good. Thanks.
Let all these newbies get in there. And let's showcase these new guys, because we know LeBron gets a lot of pub. We know Damian Lillard gets a lot of pub. KD, all these guys. So let's focus on the next generation. This should have been a next generation All-Star game. If you've been in an All-Star game seven to eight times, let's say just seven. We like that number. Seven times plus, you're not going to get invited. Everybody under that, you're going to get invited, because it's about the next generation. Let's showcase them.
Yeah, Bob, but I do think, you know, a lot of people feel a certain type of way just solely because of the pandemic. Like if there was no pandemic and it was a normal weekend, like All-Star weekend comes around every year, everybody would be fine. You wouldn't have as many people complaining.
Oh, no, it's 100%
nobody
to
be
do
complaining.
With what's going
None.
On. Yeah,
so,
no, yeah.
You know, so a lot of these guys is kind of like, look, man, I got 5, maybe 6 days to spend with my folks, chill with my kids, with the wife, with the girlfriend, whoever, and leave me be.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you know, that is leave me alone, but also let me rest, because think about it, they're playing every other night, and that's very taxing on the body, where guys are like, I'm tired. You can look at the performance. Everybody's shooting percentages are down. You know, well, not everybody, a lot of guys shooting percentages are down. They don't want to play. And it's hard on them. But at the end of the day, it's about the
Yeah.
Well, it's all about the paper.
About the dollar.
Who's getting
dollar.
That, who's dollar. Getting that all-star check?
It's all about the paper. Now, what do you think about the other festivities around, like the dunk contest? What are your thoughts about dunk contest?
I don't even know who in the dunk contest.
So you got Cassius Stanley,
okay,
Obi Toppin, and Anthony
rookie,
Simmons.
Rookie. I don't even know who Anthony Simmons is.
I don't either.
And I, that's no disrespect
right,
to him.
Right, but I don't. Like, you're right. I can't place that.
I can't even place him. I know those other two because they had a lot of hype in college.
Right.
And, you know, Cassius Stanley being from out here in California. So, you know, and him going to Harvard Westlake and then switching over to Sierra Canyon and going to Duke. I know that because my son is a big fan of his. But I don't. The dunk contest is first of all, if there is no Zach LaVine, if there is no Gordon, I'm like, who really wants to watch, man? I'm like, who wants to watch? You know,
Zion turned it down.
But those guys,
well, they don't want to do this anymore. You know, like the big stars don't want to have any part of this. It's so here I am in. I want to say it was what 87 or 88, watching Jordan and Dominique just go. Back to back to back to back with just mind-boggling dunks as a kid, just in awe of watching that, and that was always what I look back to as like the dunk contest. It was like this matter of pride. I won the dunk contest, and now it's just like you said, it's a throwaway thing. Now it's like we'll let the rooks do it. Yeah. You know, let the rooks do it.
Yeah. I always look back and like how great it would have been if you'd have had LeBron James versus Kobe Bryant
in
the slam dunk contest.
That would have been like Jordan Wilkins-esque. You know what I mean? Yes. That's the something that kids look back on and go, do you remember?
And then throwing Vince Carter. You know, there's so many other guys you could throw. Like, there's so many super dunkers. If you could have put them in one dunk contest and like, man, that'd been historic.
Yeah, we need to pour some water on your head to wake you up from this dream that you're trying to put together. Because that's all this going to be a dream.
You're having, because it ain't heaven. Yeah. Now we got guys in the Now we got guys in the dunk contest, and we're like, who he play for?
Yeah.
Who he play for?
Just what it is.
We're doing the TNT bit.
It's bad. No. Now those guys are going to be looking at us like, But if I have to pick someone, I'm going with Obi Toppin. He's amazing.
I'm going to take Cassius because that boy can jump to the moon.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll see. Well, and again, I'm like I said, I'm not that invested, but I'll watch some of it. We'll see what the hell happens. By the way, if any of these guys are coming to Atlanta and are feeling like maybe coaching an NBA team, we got an opening here. Lloyd Pierce.
Oh, I heard.
Yeah, Lloyd Pierce gone as the head coach of the Hawks. The only reason I bring it up, B-Dog covers the Hawks for us here in Atlanta, so he's obviously closely connected to this. Trae Young's not going to the All-Star game, even though that's happening here in Atlanta. He's not involved in the three-point shootout, dunk, none of that. So your thoughts on the Hawks kind of, Rob, where they stand before we get B-Dog's inside take on it?
You know, for me, it's a very shocking to me after only 2 years. And it was like, I can kind of think of, well, put my mind in the thought process that they have. And I can only think that they figured, we gave you some pieces and we're not even in the playoff hunt. But you have to say that the pieces you gave me aren't playoff pieces. And I look at their squad, and they're not that good. You know, they had some moments last year where they played good. And I look at the offense that they had. It's everybody's offense that they have in the NBA. It's play outside the three. Maybe a guy can go for a lob. Maybe a guy can do this. And for me is – I look at that team. They got a good young nucleus, but you got to get someone to get Trae Young to not think he's Steph Curry. You got to get someone to have him do more of the pick and roll and take out the flash and do more of the grind. You know, I just watch him play, and he tries to be so flashy, and he tries to do so many things like a Steph Curry, that I think it takes away from that team. But B, you follow more than I do. And that's just my perception from a guy who watches him like maybe 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah. And some of that, you know, you hit right on the nail, but a lot of it is, I think Coach Pierce, and I like Coach Pierce, all of it is not his fault, you know, because Coach.
I don't think any of it is his fault.
Okay. And the players got to go out there and play. And the report is that his voice just grew stale in that locker room, and the guys. Hey, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing and what I'm around. And you know, a lot of guys didn't like the tough love that Coach Lloyd Pierce was giving to Trey and a lot of the other young guys on the team. So they weren't very receptive. And, you know.
So you're saying they're soft?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they weren't
take
receptive.
Take off the bra and be a man.
Kevin Harlan thought they were soft.
And the fact is, I think, you know, it's a tough situation. I don't think they gave him enough time because this team was hurt. A lot of the pieces that were here this year, they dealt with a lot of injuries. So you're not giving Lloyd Pierce a fair shot to get the guys back to see what he can do. If the team didn't get any better and his coaching style didn't work with the team in its totality, cool. But don't cut him now. I was surprised that they fired him now.
Yeah. I think about this. Gallinari, he's been there out of all the games. He's had, one good game? He's been hurt.
When he hit the 10 threes.
Yeah,
he had one good game. He's trying to figure it out. And a lot of times people want a quick fix. That's one of the things I've always respected about the Utah Jazz. Throughout their history, they've never tried to go for a quick fix. You think about the days of John Stockton and Karl Malone. They stuck with what they had. Even though they won a championship, they had successful seasons. Their fans respected them. They was always in the hunt. And now everybody's like, oh, the Lakers did this. Oh, we got to make a quick fix. The Nets did this. We got to make a quick fix. Dude, no. Build what you have because in 3 years, the Nets aren't going to be good. The Lakers aren't going to be good. And it's going to be your time to shine. You look at Boston Celtics. They're going through some hard times right now. But they got 3, 4, 5 young pieces right there. In 6 years or 5 years or 4 years, everybody going to be scared of them. If they have the money to keep them together, people are going to be afraid of them. So stop looking for this quick fix because there is no Kevin Garnett that's going to add to the team and win your championship. There's no LeBron, Chris Bosh, Wade that's going to add to your team and give you a quick championship. You know, even though it happened last year with AD, but it's hard, you know, and it's hard. And we're not going to talk about the Toronto one because I still feel like if Golden State was 100, Toronto wouldn't have that championship.
I
know
so
a lot
too.
Of Toronto fans are like, oh, that's just hating. That's just not hating. That's realistic.
Right.
Nobody was going to beat KD. Nobody was going to beat Steph. Nobody was going to beat Clay because and Draymond. That right there is just, you know, you got a BB gun. They shoot with an AK-47. That's what that boils down to. So it's these teams need to sometimes relax. Let these coaches, you know, coach and players need to stop catching feelings like, oh, he yelled at me. Big deal. That's what it's about. This is sports. Coaches are going to yell. They're going to curse you out. But then they're going to take you to lunch or dinner and still, you know, pat you on the back and say, good job. And guys get feelings hurt too much nowadays.
Too much. And I think of in your example, I think of the Miami Heat and Eric Spoelstra. After LeBron left Miami, I think everybody was like, all right, that's it for Spoelstra. He's going to burn it down. And he's turned that team around with a lot of young pieces. They've rode with him. He's got a good piece in place. Got them, obviously, to the finals last year. But, you know, a guy that they've let his system develop with him and let him develop the young players around him. And he's found some good success with it. And the Heat are a decent team. They're not a great team, but they're really, you know, good enough to get to the finals.
So, Brent, I want to ask you this question. Who was the coach before him?
I was
before
Budenholzer.
Yeah, you're talking about Hawks, right?
Yeah, Budenholzer. Budenholzer. How many years did Budenholzer coach there?
Oh, he was there. I think it was about 4 or 5 years.
5 years, maybe?
And so, how about this? They gave him 5 years. They didn't do good in 5 years. And think about how he came into that situation. You remember what happened when he first became the coach?
Yeah.
For you to not fire a guy who does something like that.
I was
going to
say, that was like his first week on the job or something.
Yes. But then you fire a guy because, you know, the players don't like the way they're being coached. It's
scapegoating.
To me,
it's scapegoating.
It's scapegoating, but to me, it always boils down to, you know, some other aspects of it because I feel like a lot of time, you know, the color of your skin comes into play with this. And I'm not trying to call it like that because I know Grant Hill, I love him as a part of his organization. But sometimes I feel like the lease is always shorter for black coaches than it is for white coaches.
And that could be, and that definitely is a part of it as well. And definitely when you get an opportunity and you are let go, you're not necessarily put within the same rotation as other coaches as well. And that's something that I've also noticed. But I think Lloyd Pierce was also, when they hired him, he was on borrowed time. I think from the get-go, in, within his first year, he kind of felt as though he was not going to be here long-term. And so every day that he kept his job, it was literally a little bit of borrowed time continuously being added to, okay, the inevitable that was eventually going to happen. So, look, when the players don't play well, regardless for what reason, the coach is always going to be the first one to go because they're never going to get rid of the players.
What about the job Tom Thibodeau's done with the New York Knicks? Can we crown them Eastern Conference champions now that they've gotten to 500? They didn't win the East yet? Are you kidding me? If you turned on the news in New York, there's people running in the streets and popping champagne bottles, and they're 500.
But they're number four or five in the East.
They're the four seed.
Yeah.
Man, you got to understand, they've been awful. Not bad, but awful for so many years.
So
they're so happy to be out of the cellar that they're going to celebrate everything. And I am so proud of Julius Randle.
Yeah.
All-star team. This guy went through hell as an L.A. Laker.
Yes.
You know, they always talk bad about him. He was searching for a home. And I tell kids this all the time. Yeah, it's always about how a coach puts you in the right situation to succeed. Because there's a lot of guys out that I take D'Antoni, for instance, take his sister when he was with the Lakers. He tried to put bigs in a run and gun situation. I'm like, no, dude, change your coaching style.
No.
Pau Gasol, Dwight Howard, that ain't going to work with them.
Oh, right. No, we're going to run.
His coaching style was, this is his coaching style. But anytime a coach can coach a player in the system to make players better, that's coaching. That's why I've always loved guys like Adelman. He put guys in the position to succeed. And of course, you know, my guy out in Golden State with the Run TMC, you know, he was great. So it's a lot of guys that coaches that they take what they have and they coach them and not just have a system.
Right. Yeah. Right. You're absolutely right.
And Thibodeau's one of those guys.
Yeah.
For sure. Because he did it in Chicago. He's doing it.
And
he's
gonna make a play defense too.
Yeah, he is.
That's the thing. Yeah. This team, you know, when he came, he walked through those doors of Madison Square Garden. He said, look, we're going to play defense. And, you know, you guys are young enough. You're scrappy enough to get up in some guys and be aggressive. And that's where it starts on the defensive end. But what the crazy part about it is, I think they still are. They once were. They were the lowest scoring team in basketball. Mm-hmm. They don't put up a lot of points.
No.
But their defense is the foundation of what they are. And I'm so, so, so proud of Julius Randle. I'm proud of a lot of the former Laker babies that the Lakers drafted, and they've gone on to spread their wings with their other teams. Jordan Clarkson in Utah is killing it.
I think going to win sixth man of the year. Sometimes you can have too many cooks in the kitchen, and that's what, when you have top five picks, you know, it's hard to put them guys together because everybody, you know, scratching for that top to be the top dog.
Everyone wants to be the guy. Speaking of the guy, Zion had quite a February. We're in the first week of March, but my numbers from this week, Zion in February, 27.3 points per game, shot 64.7% field goal percentage, first player to average 25-plus and 60% shooting in a month since Shaq did it in January 2005. What have you seen watching Zion as a young player, kind of like what you've liked from him and what you see from him that he needs to get better at?
You know, first of all, he needs to work on that jumper, you know, but who needs a jumper when they can't stop you from going to the rack?
Say,
you know what
man,
I mean?
When you're down low, I mean,
you know, you watch him play and, you know, the book on him was, he was, you know, going to go one dribble right, then go left and just scores left. And it's amazing how he still does that, and you cannot stop him. I saw him go in the other day, and he went in at Gobert, put his chips in the Gobert, waited in the air, probably thought about where he was going after the game, waited for Gobert to land, and then laid it in with his left hand, all in the air. This guy's hang time and what he can do with his body and the angles he uses to get his shot off, he's an amazing athlete. You know, he just, you know, you want him to stay healthy and you fear for a guy like that because the way the NBA is played now, it's a lot of up and down. He's carrying a lot of weight. Is he still like one of the top five heaviest guys in the NBA?
Probably so.
I'm going to say maybe.
He ain't lost a ton of weight.
Yeah, he hasn't really. And I think that was the thing. Everyone thought he was going to thin out a little bit. And But he uses his size to his advantage. You know, very Shaq-like. You know what I mean? He, like you said, he'll get in somebody's chest. He'll use his big ass backside and push somebody out of the way. And he's a physical player, which is actually really great to see in today's league.
You know, especially in this day and age, because everything is about being thin and, you know, trying to, you know,
finesse,
maneuver, finesse. And this guy's a little bit old school. He's, you know, he's like a athletic Anthony Mason with a Charles Barkley attitude. You know, he just goes like in there and just beast people. You know, he's an amazing athlete. Once he can come down and pull up from three and or pump fake and pull up at the mid range and not have to get in the paint and score on you, he's going to be a bad man.
And he plays with that college intensity. He's still
in college.
Yeah, true. But you got
like
a lot
22,
of guys.
22, 23.
But you know, with the NBA game, and you can tell even in college when a guy, and I'm not saying that this guy doesn't play with the intensity because he does, and he's a great player, like Jason Tatum. I knew Jason Tatum when I watched him in high school and I watched him in his first year at Duke. Just the body frame, the way he moved on the floor. He didn't move like a college guy. He moved like a pro. From that day that I saw him, I said, he don't even need to be in college. He should have gone from high school to the pros. But Zion has the energy in the NBA of a college guy. We go up, miss, I'm going right back up to get it. I'm scrapping and I'm putting it right back up. He just moves like a college guy.
He's amazing, man. He's one of those guys where you have these freakish athletes and these phenomenons that come through like once every 20 years. The last one was LeBron James. And, you know, I'm not calling anybody else. You know, you got KD and Westbrook, but I'm not talking about physical, like just built like a brick house, as they used to say in the country. These guys are just so strong and can do so many things athletic at being that size.
Now, right. Giannis, I think, too, the same way. I mean, just asserts himself when he wants to.
Yeah. Yes.
The Rockets struggling. I mean, if you're John Wall and you're in Houston right now, you are smacking your head against the wall because his comment the other night after they lost by 49, this shit is ass. Terrible. That was his post-game commentary. So there you go. This shit is ass.
Hey, you talking about coaches or just buying their time and wanting some experience, man, as a head coach? Yeah. I think Silas is one of those coaches right now. He probably went and said, yeah, I got a guy. Oh, my goodness, he's leaving. You know? I got one of the best players to play the game ever. Now he just left. So
he's gone.
And, you know, it's hard for me, Ben, being that I played for that organization.
That's why I brought it up.
I live in Houston, and you always want Houston teams to do good. You know, the Astros, the Oilers, I mean, the Texans.
The Oilers.
I still call them the Oilers.
The old Warren Moon days, man.
Yes. You know, the Dynamo. So many different teams, you know. And you think back, and you say, man, they're just not doing good. And you look at them when they let go of Boogie, and now the guys get hurt, and for him to say it's just ass and Oladipo not wanting to renew his contract, you like, what's going on here? What's
Houston's
the problem?
Trouble, man. Not just the Rockets, just in general.
Yes,
I mean,
it's like
JJ Watt just signed with the Cardinals, and freaking Deshaun Watson wants out of town. They traded DeAndre Hopkins for a turkey sandwich. I mean, it's a mess.
Rob, man, how does it feel to have a dark, gloomy cloud over all three of your major sports teams in the city of Houston?
Hey, don't talk about that, man, because we just had a freeze and the ceiling in my pipes burst in my house. I have no ceiling, and this is going on. It's just like maddening right now. It's just Houston is falling apart. You know, we had the floods not too long ago. It sank the city by three inches or 3 feet or something. It's just – there will be brighter days, people. Please go back to Houston. It's one of the best cities to be in.
Please.
Hey, there's no state tax. Understand that. There is no state tax.
Take your wins, people. Take your victories where you can get them.
It's rough out there in Houston, isn't it?
Yeah, it's rough. And, I don't know if you feel this way, but they just lifted the mandate on masks. We got so many things we want to go to Houston for.
You are selling it hard, man. You're like, look at the bright side, folks.
Look at the bright side.
Come on. And then other organizations who are – we brought up J.J. Watt, by the way, who signed with the Arizona Cardinals this week. Good for him. Congratulations, J.J.
Super guy.
Class act.
It's certain people that you meet and you meet guys like this and you get to know them and realize that, you know, it ain't always, you know, how you know, media can hype people up and put them in on a certain pedestal. But when you meet a person, like, okay, he deserves it. And J.J. Watt is an outstanding guy, and I'm happy for him, and hopefully he can go on and do great things and still be able to produce it and with the Cardinals, because who doesn't love the Cardinals, man?
Rob, Bob, I'm not going to let you do that, because I'm going to go on the other side of
this. He's a Rams fan.
No, well, not even that, but Look at this. Mm-hmm. Well, he could have come to the Rams. It would have been a better situation, but that's neither here nor there. Nah. But it's a two-year deal. He leaves Houston after 10 years, obviously wanting to win a Super Bowl. He's done everything but that.
Uh-huh.
You're sitting here and you're going to tell me, we three grown
Arizona
men
Cardinals.
Sitting right here, three grown men, and you're going to sit here and tell me, out of all these other teams who probably were in a better position, no slight against the Cardinals, but in a better position, maybe offer you a little less money, but you're in a mm-hmm. better situation to win a title, you go to the Arizona Cardinals, and then you're going to sit up here and tell me, man, I believe in Kyler Murray. I think he's going to be great. He could be great, but you won't be there when he is.
You know what? Sometimes you go for friendship. the city, the weather. He might be a big golfer, man. I heard Arizona got good golf, man.
He said, you know, friendship.
He want to be back with B-Hop, man. He would be
okay,
man.
Fine.
He want to play with his boy.
I didn't come here to win a title. I came here to be your friend.
It's okay. You'll be playing golf in January instead of in the playoffs, but you're fine.
Hey, hold on. He want to play with the ultimate professional, Larry Fitzgerald. That's what it is. He wants to go there and hang out with Fitz.
Larry Fitzgerald.
He got the offseason for a reason.
Well, he'll have plenty more of it in Arizona, so don't worry about it.
31 million. Look, you're making $15 million per year. Don't let me rain on your parade. I'm all about you getting your money.
Yeah, go do you for sure. But
you ain't getting no title.
I would have bet money he was going to go play with his brother. So
I thought so too. That's what everybody was saying. He was going to go to Pittsburgh and play with his brother.
Well, maybe he didn't want to play next to Aaron Donald. Everybody seems to succeed when they play next to Aaron Donald. So if you don't want to do that, then fine. Go.
Well, you know, first of all, Aaron Donald wasn't going to let him on a team because of the comments he made about he didn't deserve the defensive player of the year. So he didn't want him.
But Bob, that's perfect, because it says, you know what? since you don't believe it, come here and let me show you why I am who I am. Come on over here. Let me show you firsthand experience is why your brother shouldn't have got it.
That's funny.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Maybe he could have gone to Seattle, even though Seattle didn't seem like they're in a whole lot of a better situation. Russell Wilson this week, the big rumors are that he wants out of Seattle. And I'm like, I mean, literally, he's the face of the franchise.
I think Houston should just swap quarterbacks with Seattle and call it a day.
Houston swap with who?
Deshaun?
Russell
gets to go to...
No, Russell too good of a man for that.
I'm going to say, to rebuild?
It ain't no state tax in Washington either. Oh, it ain't no state tax in Washington either, my bad.
And I think weed is legal in Washington, so I mean, what are we, you know...
Hey, weed is legal everywhere now, so...
not here in the good old South in Georgia.
Not in the Bible Belt.
Not here in Georgia, so I'll tell you what. That's not how we do it here.
If this is Rob, look at it from this standpoint.
Okay.
You're a married man, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So you love your wife. Your wife loves you.
I don't like where this is
and
going.
You say, you know what, Rob? And your wife, Rob, I love you. I love you, dear. You are the apple of my eye. But if it didn't work out, I got four other guys on this list that I would like to be with. Does that make any sense to you?
It makes sense to me, but I would say this.
Get your ass out of here.
Ain't none of those four guys this right here. That's what I would say. I'm like, you can go.
Yeah.
And don't think I ain't in the situation to have a list either now.
I didn't go. No, don't say that.
I didn't go that
Cut
route.
Cut that out. No, yeah, you're on. Right. Honey, that was not on the podcast.
Hey, I can say that now because my wife's not home. She's
But my thing is, I really just wanted Russ. I don't know where his stance is, and obviously sources brought those four teams out. But if that is true, Russ, just say it with your chest.
Yeah.
Say it with your chest.
You know, I think I'm going to blame James Harden for all this.
Of course.
Sure.
He started this where superstars went out of the situation.
Yeah, then you get in the media, you demand it, and you wait.
You know, Russ, I think Russ hasn't been happy since, you know, you didn't give it to Beast Mode to run it in and they didn't win the Super Bowl. I think he's still been a little frustrated from that. And if you look at Russ, he's in a position now where he can pretty much pick where he wants to go. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm not picking a team that doesn't have a chance to win. Okay, we all know that the Jets are you know, in a situation where they want to get rid of Sam Darnold or do it, you know. What team out there, where can he go where he's going to be as successful as he is in Seattle?
I'll tell you.
Who?
New Orleans.
Don't say Rams.
No.
New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. They're ready to win team now. They're a top five defense. They have one of the best offensive lines, and they have weapons.
No, okay, but the problem is New Orleans has got salary cap issues from hell.
Rob, they've been in salary cap hell for a decade.
Yes, but they're going to have to cut like half their team in the offseason.
The salary cap is a myth. It's a myth.
It's a myth. What are you, Trump? The election was stolen? The salary cap is a myth?
It's a myth.
What shit is this?
The Rams have proved to you that the salary cap is a myth.
Okay. And my thing is, too, with Russell, he's got such a good relationship with Pete Carroll, and they seem to be very in tune. I think, and maybe Sean Payton is a coach that could probably get that out of him. I feel like wherever he goes, he's going to be starting over with a coach, whether it's building relationships, how to run the offense, you know, figuring out where he's going to fit, where all these guys are going to go. And I really don't see him leaving Seattle, even if he wants to. I don't either.
But it's really more so about the him getting hit constantly. That offensive line is terrible in Seattle.
They got to work on that.
Well, that's one of the things they need to work on in the offseason. You know, as a quarterback, you know, you're going to think about it. You got one of the best receivers in the game in DJ.
DK Metcalf.
You know, DK, yeah, I would say DJ. Yeah. DK Metcalf. And the combination they have there, and you think about it, Seattle was, if I'm not mistaken, their offensive line was pretty beat up and hurt this year.
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. And so don't just abandon ship just yet. You know, you know, the draft's coming up. You got some off-season moves you can make. There's so many things you can do to beef up that offensive line, you know?
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. You talk about – I just thought about this. We don't know what the situation is with Dak down in Dallas.
Should they do a swap?
Yeah.
A swap?
Yeah, I don't know if he won't damage goods. I don't know how he's going to come back.
I was going to say, Dak's recovering still.
Yeah, but he's 26, 27. He'll be okay.
Yeah. But think about Russell.
You just want Russell Wilson out of your division. I'm not lying.
I like Russell Wilson outside of him wearing that ugly jersey. I love Russell. Everything about Russ I like, except for that ugly jersey he wears.
Damn, Rams fans.
You just like his ability to just do it big. Especially on the Rams. And
No. The Rams have owned him over the last 4 to 5 years. I ain't worried about that.
Did you see the Luka Doncic card that sold this week?
No, I didn't.
$4.6 million.
Dang.
The most expensive basketball card ever sold. An ultra-rare Luka Doncic rookie card, one for one, meaning they only printed one of them, features the NBA logo man patch from a game-worn jersey and a perfect signature in blue ink. The second highest sports card ever sold, behind a 1952 Mickey Mantle rookie card that went for $5.2 million. I thought that the whole thing with cards was the old ones, like the Mickey Mantles and the Honus Wagners. Those are the ones that sell. And then, like, today's cards. No, Luka Doncic has been in the league, what, 2 years?
Second year.
$4.6 million card.
I want to know who bought this card.
Yes.
Because I want to meet him and hang out with him, because I know he's just
alone,
you know, spending stupid money.
Yeah.
And my wife and I are currently, you know, buying a house. Can you help a brother out? You know?
Well, Big Shot, I heard about this guy that reportedly bought this card. They say he used to play in the league. He's a tall guy.
Nick Fiorello.
Oh, no. I thought his initials like RH. He got about seven rings. Oh. You know, hey. He has this, this other little account, and then he put it under another name and bought the card. And so it's sitting up in his house. That's just what I heard.
Yeah.
Hey, let me just say this. I have in my house, I used to have maybe, I think I had five things that were memorabilia from people. One was from Nolan Ryan, where he had the guy in the headlock.
The Robin Ventura.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Robin Ventura. And it says, to Big Shot Bob, don't mess with Texas. You know,
that's congratulations. Amazing. That is amazing.
And then I had one from Muhammad Ali. And I have one
What do you have from Ali?
I have some gloves he signed for me.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Outstanding.
And then I have...
You told us you stole a bunch of jerseys too.
I don't have those hung up though. Those are in the closet. I have Dreams jersey hung up because I was a big Dreams fan growing up. And then I have the Gary Carter jersey.
Stupidly, you and I have the same favorite baseball player of all time, who's a freaking New York Met, which makes no sense at all. But you and I with Gary Carter. I was just floored by
and
that.
And the last thing I have hung up is Kobe stuff, you know. So I just put that up because he just passed away.
That's priceless.
Yeah.
I've got a handful of stories unrelated to sports, if you want to jump into a few of these, because they're insane. Did you hear that there is no more Mr. Potato Head?
What?
Have you heard this?
No.
Oh, and B-Dog said before the show he hadn't heard the story either. Hasbro made news this week saying they're dropping the Mister from Mr. Potato Head. He's been on shelves for 70 years, and Hasbro says kids want to be able to represent their own gender experiences. The way the brand currently exists with Mr. and Mrs. is limiting when it comes to both gender identity and family structure. Are you kidding me? He is a potato. Like, if you pick up a Mr. Potato Head and the first thing you think is, he doesn't identify with my gender. Spoiler alert, you're too old to be playing with a Mr. Potato Head. Put him down. He's for two-year-olds.
Yeah. So are they going – isn't the guy from Planners called Mr. Peanut?
Oh, yeah. No, he'll be next. We'll cancel
him. He'll be next. Yeah. These are these situations where you want to talk about, but you can't talk about because everybody gets offended by everything.
Everybody's triggered by everything.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's been established for so long. And then you have a Mrs., you know, just create another one and leave those two alone. Just create another one for people who don't want gentrification.
I got to say one thing about this.
Okay.
didn't Mr. Potato Head have a mustache?
He did, yeah.
Case closed. That's all I got to say. Yeah. I mean, he had one of them little 5 o'clock shadow type of things. Hey, so he had a full fledged.
Yeah, but you know what the problem is? The minute you open the box and the Mr. Potato Head, you lose the mustache immediately. Like, it's the first piece you never get back. And I've never owned one.
Maybe.
Oh, my God. It's this flimsy. And every Mr. Potato Head I've ever seen has got his ears in his eye and his hand coming out of the top of his head. Like, are we really going to tie this now to gender identity? Like, come on. Well, you can't have Dr. Seuss anymore either. Dr. Seuss is apparently canceled now.
Seriously?
Have you not heard this story either? I am bringing great things to the show this week. They're all terrible. Dr. Seuss. I know they're canceling our whole childhood. Dr. Seuss's estate said this week there's going to be 6 books that they're no longer going to publish because there are, I guess, references within the books about races that are not necessarily politically friendly in today's environment. I don't remember the books. It happened on Mulberry Street is one of them. Hmm. If I Ran the Zoo is one of them, and basically, they've gone back now and said, no, we can't do this anymore. No more Dr. Seuss. We're canceling Dr. Seuss now.
So basically, you're saying I should go out and buy these books and save them because they're going to be worth something in a couple of years?
You and me right here, buddy. Okay. Right here. We have one of them at home. And my wife Shannon gets on eBay last night. I wonder how much these books are going for. It happened on Mulberry Street. It's the only one we have. Selling on eBay for like $4,000.
Get out of here.
I'm like, sweetheart, do you have an emotional attachment to this book? Because if you don't, we got some money to make.
Right now, you're going to put that thing and you're going to back conceal it. So, like, hold on. Nobody touch this.
No.
And $4,000?
$4,000 on eBay right now for It Happened on Mulberry Street. What the hell the name of that book is? I can't believe It Happened on Mulberry Street, or I don't even know. Yeah, no, everybody's canceled nowadays. So, yeah, add Dr. Seuss to the list of things we're not allowed to do anymore.
All right, whatever.
I love the Space Hotel. Did you see the Space Hotel?
Yes. I did see that. I heard about that.
You didn't see the Space Hotel either. There's a new company
I'm back in school, man. I miss a lot of stuff.
You're like, yes. B-Dog and I are like enveloped in pop culture, and you're writing papers.
These are going to be Dirty South things. You know, you guys are 2 hours ahead. No, 3 hours ahead of me. Yeah. So you get the news, and by the time it gets its own news, it doesn't really...
We get the news so much faster than everybody else in the world.
You're 3 hours ahead, so you get 3 hours before me.
He's post-bias.
I'm kidding, people. People going to say, what is he talking about? They're not in time.
Does Rob not know how time starts to work?
Yeah, no, it's okay. Right.
Yeah, you know, the world's flat.
There's a company. Great. Now we got to deal with that. Right. Flat Earthers
I'm
coming.
Kidding,
after
I'm kidding. I don't believe it. The road is round.
The company's called Orbital Assembly. They're only a 3-year-old company, but they said by 2025, they're going to have an interstellar resort out in space. Should be operational by 2027. And can house up to 400 guests. It looks like a big wheel with two giant like connectors going through it. So like an X. It almost looks like the X-Men symbol. Just floating out in space. In a space hotel. You going to go to the space hotel if you're able to? Or is this white people shit? Because to me, this feels kind of like white people shit.
Hold on. I don't know about that now. I don't know how much that's going to cost, so I probably ain't going.
I'm definitely not going. Because first of all, you have to train to go to outer space, and no, I'm not going. No.
You're not going to go. So there's no training. You get on like a shuttle with like 100 other people, and they fire your ass up into outer space.
I won't even go on a Ferris wheel, so what the hell am I going to do if I can go out of damn space? No. Hey, forever, I had problems getting up for about 10 years, no lie, I had problems with getting on a plane. I would have panic attacks. But I used to be scared shitless to get on the plane. Like, yeah. I was telling you, remember telling Shaq when he made me fly private with him, I was scared shitless. I'm like, you think I'm about to get on a freaking rocket? I seen all these movies. That's one of the reasons I won't go in the ocean. I seen Jaws. I'm not going out there. You think I'm going
to space? I know what's
waiting
for me.
Freaking asteroid hit this. I'm just floating in space and I freeze to death or I get thrown into the sun. Oh, hell no.
It's Jurassic Park. So you're telling me, like, why are we going here? What
so
are
how
we doing?
Often do you go, you know, you're living out in California. How often do you go to the beach?
Dude, look at me. I'm black. I got the perfect tan. I ain't going no damn beach.
Wait a minute.
Shit.
So black people don't go to the beach?
I don't go to the beach.
If I'm going to the beach, that means my kids are making me go, or there's a beach party. That's the only reason I'm going to the beach.
So when's the last time you went?
To the beach?
Yeah.
Oh my God, man, I can't even think back that far. I have to say, when I went to Black Beach in college back in 1992, that's the last time I've been to the beach.
Oh my God.
Rob, the sand's not even the same since then.
And by the way, I do not know what that is.
Oh, I know what it is.
That's one of the best times I've ever had.
He gonna leave it at that.
And that is press conference over.
Oh man.
Okay. All right. Well, just some random stuff that I thought was fun this week. We do have something to clip to bring to the table.
You have Freaknik returning to Houston. I mean, to Atlanta. Is that it? Freaknik?
Not yet.
No. We're not. Oh. That was a whole nother thing. All right. Wait a minute. There was a story though. Wasn't Freaknik supposed to return?
Supposed to come back.
Supposed to come back at some point. I mean, then COVID hits, and who knows what anybody's doing anymore.
I think it'll come back at some point.
Doris Burke. Love Doris
Burke. Doris Burke.
Do you know Doris?
Yes, I know Doris.
Do you? Okay. Had a moment on television the other night, and this comes to us in this week's edition of That's Unfortunate. This comes from the Bucks game the other night. We love Doris Burke, but Doris had this commentary the other night during the Bucks game.
They look like it again, Doris.
You have to know when to come. So Chris does a great job. Giannis comes from behind and gets a piece of it. Like, it's not just when you come, like, it's how hard you come.
Oh, Doris. Oh, Doris.
Bro. Yo.
Lord have mercy.
Doris.
It's not just when you come, like, it's how hard you come.
Oh, that is unfortunate. Hey. And I love Doris.
Love
her.
DB.
Love her to death. Hey, my goodness. Do you think after that happened, she was like, oh, crap.
She probably went home and was like, hey, you heard me. I'm already ready.
Let's go. Let's go.
I'm kidding, Doris.
Put on your game shoes, because it's
time. But think about this. Doris has done so many games, and she's probably one of the top 10 announcers out there. And for her to make this mistake is probably like, she's probably like, I ran out of shit to say.
So I got to
throw some innuendos
man.
Out there yeah. and make people like, give them something else to talk about. Yeah. I'm like,
you remember Doris?
Said come like six times.
like a 10 second clip.
It's not just when you come, like it's how hard you come.
Okay, well that's probably true for all of us. All right, this it's this week's big shot of the week. Also, I'm going to send this one to Benjamin Kagan. I don't know if you've heard about this kid, but he started a group called Chicago Vaccine Angels. He's a 14-year-old student.
I heard about this, yeah.
And he's donating his time to help seniors who are struggling with the technology to get COVID vaccine. So like they're having problems with the web portal and all that, and this kid's going out of his way to donate his time to get reservations for seniors so they can get their vaccine. Here he is.
I started getting all these private messages saying, Benjamin, we need help. Benjamin, I can't book it myself. Benjamin, help me please.
He saw a need for something that he felt that he could help with, and he just jumped in.
It's a great feeling to be able to help people like this. So I personally have helped 115 people.
Yeah, thus far, he's helped 115 seniors secure their vaccine appointments online.
Super dope.
At
that is great.
14 years old. What were we doing at 14?
Playing Atari?
Yeah.
Riding a bike, shooting BB guns.
Looking at every girl going, one day.
Not just you, Rob. Just you, Rob. You know, they were looking at me like saying, one day. I'm like, nah, you can't ride this ride yet.
No, one day.
Yeah, man. That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, for kids, you know, all over the world to realize there's a vacancy in something and to fill that vacancy. Think about it. There's so many. I was just helping my mother-in-law the other day just change her phone from a new phone to a phone. The technology moves so fast, and it bypassed a lot of older adults. And so, hell, it bypasses us too. The other day, I had to pull some on my computer, and I had to call my son and say, dude, how do you do this? And I'm thinking, I'm computer savvy, right? So it's great when they go out of their way and take care of kids that they don't know to just, you know, pass it on, fill the void, have love and compassion for the elderly, because there's a lot of people that don't have compassion for the elderly. They'd be like, okay, you're old, your time has come, move out of the way.
You saw a lot of that during COVID, this, you know, throughout this whole ordeal of, you know, when it comes to the elderly, hey, you know, they live their life, they, you know, whatever. But I'm like, they're still living. They're still a vital piece of this society. You know, this is somebody's grandmother, a great, great grandmother or mother. And, you know, it's just the just, man, I don't even want to go there.
COVID brought out the worst in some of us, didn't it?
Yes, like it brought out the best in a lot of us too. Yeah,
it did. It brought out a lot of good, but like the stuff that B-Dog's saying, like where it was, a lot of it happened like up in New York too, where it was like, yeah, send them back, they're fine, put them back in the nursing homes, they're all right, and it was like it just cost so many people their lives. So shout out to Benjamin Kagan, this week's big shot for that. That kid is doing amazing things.
Yes, sir. Salute to him.
Incredible things. All right, well, look, it's time for the post game press conference. End of the show.
You want to talk about Alabama basketball? Back on top again?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Get it off your chest. What do you want to talk about?
I don't want to talk about Alabama basketball. You know, we finally won the SEC, and it's been a while. You know, it's in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, it's just not one juggernaut in that town. It's about four or five from football, basketball, softball.
I can't believe you're lumping
baseball,
basketball, and softball in with Nick Saban.
Like I'm just saying. No, I'm just saying we have some juggernauts.
Fine, and he doesn't know why.
No, I didn't. I didn't say Nick Saban. You said Nick Saban. I said there's some juggernauts in that town.
Define juggernaut.
Maybe just one juggernaut. That's a football
team. Juggernaut.
There's some guys. Yeah. There's some guys in the line like this. Like, hey, can we get in? They coming.
Right. Can we play? We're 5-star recruits. Nothing? Okay, no, we got nothing. The Tom and Jerry movie came out this week. What was your favorite cartoon when you were growing up as a kid?
Space Ghost.
Oh, wow. Space Ghost.
I love Space Ghost.
Did you really?
That was my cartoon growing up.
Man in a white hood. Okay, that's cool.
His whole outfit was white, man.
Oh, man.
I couldn't help myself. Beto, what was your favorite cartoon growing up as a kid?
I had a couple. I like Scooby-Doo.
Classic?
You know,
okay.
Tom and Jerry was... Those, you know, the ones that most people like, those are the two.
You know, it's funny. Space Ghost is one of my favorites, but... I love Fat Albert, man, and the brown horn. I used to love that. That was so good. And, you know, X-Men and Transformers. It was a cartoon.
You're getting into the nerdy 80s side of where I came from. Transformers, Thundercats, Dragon Ball Z. Hell yes.
Yes.
And He-Man and all that kind of stuff.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
You know who? I'm not even going to lie. I was in love with Thundar the Barbarian. Not him, but the sorceress. Oh, my goodness. What was her name? You know, Thundar the Barbarian, Ookla the Mock, and the sorceress. And she was like the first, like, I thought she was black. I don't know if she was black or not, but I called her black. But she was like the first black cartoon character. And she had hips and stuff. I was like, oh, my goodness. That's Look up Thundar the Barbarian. It was Thundar the Barbarian. He was this sorceress that always was with him.
Yeah.
I can't think of her name.
Now,
this
is from He-Man, right?
Yeah.
All right, now we got to look
at this. Thundar the Barbarian.
Princess Ariel is the only one I got. All right.
That's her name.
Yeah, okay.
That's her.
That's her.
If you look at her, look at her body. She had the curves. She was dark skinned. You know,
She is a little. You're right.
As a black man growing up, characters, you know, in cartoons.
Okay.
You know, so this was a black character. I was like, oh man, we got a black cartoon character, and she's sexy.
She's hot. The little blue onesie going with the belt and the boots.
This man is true.
I always felt creepy that I thought Chitara was sexy on Thundercats. I was like, that's creepy as hell. She's technically an animal. Yeah. terrifying. Baseball's officially back. If you get the opportunity, Major League Baseball, NBA. How long are you going to wait till you go back to a game as a fan? Do you go to games ever?
I love going to baseball games.
I was going
to
say, I don't think you're far from Dodger Stadium, right?
I'm literally like 3 miles from Dodger Stadium.
Okay.
If that. So, but no, I'm going to wait a while. I'm going to be that guy. Unless I get special treatment where I'm down on the field or in a position where I can't get hit by a ball, you know, I'm going to wait.
Special
I'm kind of bougie when it comes to stuff like that, man.
Know what? I can't even talk shit on you because I'm the same way. I'm like, are we in the suite? I don't want to go. I'm all right. You know, I got to sit in the sun with the commoners. I'm fine. I'm good.
I'll go to the game, but I'm just you know.
I'm excited to go back to a baseball game.
Oh, I am.
Yeah. I'm super excited to go back to a baseball game. I missed baseball so much last year.
And I don't know how many, you know, fans they're going to allow in Truist Park, which is the new name for the Braves Stadium now. But I definitely want to be in that number because to be spring, summertime at a baseball game in the evening is not a lot of things better than that, especially during this time.
Having a beer, eating a hot dog or a pretzel and just watching baseball.
Yeah, I just go to Minute Maid Stadium, which is where the Astros play, out in the field.
Yeah.
And just drink beer and watch the game and just shoot the shit with fans and just have a good time.
Yeah. I'm getting news now that Minute Maid Stadium wants out of Houston as well. Just add them to the list. They want out too. Can you move
Hey, Mattress Mac probably like, I want out of Houston too. Yeah. Like, dude, you just won $3 million on Tampa Bay, so he ain't going nowhere.
You'd be all right. You're going to be okay. Coke or Pepsi?
I don't drink either.
Okay.
Coke.
See, I grew up on Pepsi.
It's a Southern thing.
Yeah, it is. I grew up in the Northeast, and I grew up on Pepsi.
My mom is a big Pepsi person. I don't really. It's weird. I never drink like Pepsi, Coke. Only dark drink I would drink was root beer. That's the only thing.
What do you mean?
Root beer.
Root beer's delicious.
Or Grapico. Do y'all even know what Grapico is? You in the South, you should know what Grapico is.
I have heard of Grapico.
Hey, typical black man. I like my grape soda.
I like my grape soda.
We've been through this with some other people before.
Yeah, grape soda controversy. I do most of my show prep on Twitter. It is clearly the one site I probably spend the most time on in my day.
Right.
What site or app do you spend the most time on? Instagram.
I always check my Twitter in the morning.
Twitter, okay.
Just to see what's going on. I don't really look at Instagram because Instagram, you start looking at something serious, and next thing you know, you're watching things over here that you don't need to be watching, yeah. And then you come back, you know.
Or you scroll past something, and your wife's like, "What the hell are you looking at?" I'm like nothing, you know.
I'm smart. I don't even do that. Most things I look at Instagram is like. Food recipes and stuff like that, but I refuse to look at one girl on Instagram because they all look alike after a while. Did y'all go to the same
you and a former NBA player that we're friends with have very different philosophies on that. Let's just say that.
Well, I'll do Twitter, I'll do Instagram, and I've been, you know, I frequent on the app Clubhouse. I don't know if any of you all have heard
of it. Have you been using Clubhouse?
Yeah, I'm on Clubhouse.
I have Clubhouse, and I haven't used it yet.
I got to get you in on a room that I want to get you in on talking Lakers stuff. So I want to, about your fans?
Let me know, man.
Yeah.
How is it? Is it fun? Do you listen in on conversations?
Yeah, you can join the stage and speak on things, but I will say it can get old because it's made up of a lot of people that like to hear themselves speak as well, a lot.
Oh, I'd be great on this app.
Yeah, so you can join different rooms.
I never shut up. stop talking.
It's a cool app. I'm for real, Big Shot. I really want to get you on with some folks, though. They really would love to hear from you.
The NBA was like, "Oh, you need to get on this app," and they sent it to me. And next thing I'm like, "What the hell is this?" All of a sudden, they start going. I'm like, "Who is it? Hi, Rob, how are you?" I'm like, "Who the hell is this? How do I turn this shit off?
What is happening?
Yeah,
this has been invaded.
Yeah,
can we do one on the show? We should do a Clubhouse on the show. Is that good?
We can create a room and then name it the big, you know, Big Shot Bob room, and then
and
have people come in.
And
yeah,
stuff,
and people can ask. And
that
stuff.
Might be a fun thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You might want to try that. Last question in the post-game press conference. The Golden Globes happened this weekend, largely on Zoom. I watched 0 minutes of it. Do you ever pay attention to award shows?
I do. I like the music.
You watch
the
Oscars, Golden Globes, or any of that stuff?
I don't watch any of that stuff because I don't let someone tell me that this movie was good, that movie was good, because I want to watch it myself. And, you know, they can kill a revolutionary, but you can't kill a revolution.
There you go.
So I watch my own movies. But the music ones, I always like to see the artists perform just to see what kind of, you know, you never know. You might see a titty pop out. So I like to watch.
Yeah, man. I'll watch the Grammys from time to time. I remember when the BET Awards were a thing. I would check them out because you just never knew what would happen. But, you know, BET Awards aren't the same. So.
I thought you were talking about, ain't that the Source Awards?
That too. I used to watch the Source Awards too.
Yes.
I would watch the MTV Video Music Awards too every now and then. And I'll still watch them today and feel old as hell. Because I'm like, I don't know who half the people performing are.
Yeah.
I will dupe myself into watching the Oscars. And be like, you know what? This is important. And I am bored as shit like 4 minutes into it. I'm like, I'm out all the way.
Because most of the things like that, they talk about a show and like, oh, this one best. I'm like, what show is that? When did that come out? And these award shows are always confusing because if I was an artist, I would come out like 6 months before the awards come out. I would drop anything like, oh, I'm 6 months before. and try to win, it'll be a little bit selfish, because sometimes someone a win and I'm like, is that song still popular? Because it came out right after the Oscars. I'm like,
Yeah.
It's not even relevant anymore. How is this winning?
Yeah, there's stuff that'll come out like a month after the award show that they'll talk about, and then it's like, that shit's been out for 10 months. What are we doing? How's it? All right. That's this week's show, this post-game presser. If you ever have a question for the post-game press conference, BigShotBobPod@gmail.com.
I just knew one of you guys was going to talk about that other award show, but until next time, you know the same show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only time Vegas would be crowded.
Oh, I know. Okay, hold on. That took me a minute, and then all of a sudden you said Vegas, and I realized.
As a lot of people say, Big Shot, that's not my ministry.
I'm talking about the one with all the gadgets and stuff.
Of course. Yeah, CES.
Which one are y'all talking about?
That's the one I was talking about. That's still not my ministry.
Yeah, no.
CES. Yeah, you never been to CES?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I was talking about CES.
No, okay, cool. Yeah.
We are terrible people.
We were talking about the same thing.
Yeah, okay, we're terrible people. Aren't we right, Doris?
It's not just when you come, like it's how hard you come.
Okay, good, she liked it.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.